Hare Krishna. Here we are in Bucharest, but not for long, because this afternoon we're headed on our way back to Budapest, and actually to New Rajagam. Yesterday we had a public program, although it wasn't so much for the public, it was more for devotees. And our presentations were really about the consequences of the Sanskrit language, the consequences to understanding our Vedic literature, our Vedic culture. And this was a presentation that we'd already made before in Budapest. I don't know, maybe some years back, the preaching program. And basically the principle is that, well, we had Manjari presented the Chitra Kavitani, which showed the extraordinary beauty and the wonderful way in which Sanskrit language can be made into chitra, can actually form pictures, and the unique poetry and poesy of Sanskrit that you don't have any equivalent in English language, Hungarian language, and so on. So, and then I presented some of the consequences or the points behind Sanskrit, that, for instance, Sanskrit language doesn't change. The fact that language doesn't change means that the culture or the people behind it have a consistent language usage. And behind that language usage means that the values remain consistent, as opposed to we see that in languages nowadays are constantly in a change of flux. Words mean different things. So in Sanskrit, actually, words are not just arbitrary designations of something. You could just as easily call an apple a banana, and a banana an apple, and if everyone was used to that, then it would make absolutely no difference to anybody. However, that's not the case in Sanskrit, but rather in Sanskrit, words are actually sound representations of objects, which in itself is an intriguing and interesting concept to get into. Not exactly like, but something like how the Maha Mantra is non-different from Krishna, or the sound vibration is non-different than the person that it represents. So it's a very, very wonderful thing. But considering that this language and linguists will accept that Sanskrit is the mother of all languages, is so evolved, considering that it's so stable and doesn't change, it has very extraordinary implications. That means that, for instance, language is well understood to be the sort of a compass or a thermometer of a culture. According to how developed the culture is, they have a corresponding language. Additionally, culture is really simply the values, the beliefs, and the social structure of a people. So if the language is so elevated, so wonderful, so unchanging, so in one sense absolute, then the conclusion is that the same must be of the culture that's there. If Sanskrit is the mother of all languages, then the culture, the Vedic culture from which Sanskrit comes, could be termed, it's not unreasonable to say, that it's the mother of all cultures. And therefore the peoples who originally were in this Vedic culture are the origin of all peoples, namely the Aryans. So these were presentations, and it's something that devotees can keep in mind, because very often people will ask, well, how do we know about the authenticity of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and Mahabharata? There's simply some kind of mythology and so on. But no, the language and then subsequently the culture, and behind that the original peoples and the society behind that culture indicate that this is much less, this is not a mythology. I just gave a little example of how we even came about this idea that Indian Puranas, Mahabharata, and all of these things are mythology, and that they don't really represent the history of India. In one sense, it's really absurd. You just imagine, I don't know, someone's listening somewhere, say United States, it's been there for 250 years, and some people came into the United States right now, and they wiped out all the history books. They discarded the opinions of all the historians, linguists, and scholars, and they went around digging in Manhattan and Chicago and so on, and from whatever they found in their digging, they started reconstructing a new history of America without any care for what the local historians, the local Americanists, linguists, and everything else say. Well, that's what happened to India. The British came in, and they just threw out the history books. Purana means history book. They threw out the Indologists, which were all of the sadhus who were there, their opinions. And out of nothing, they reconstructed some other type of history of India, starting some few thousand years ago, based on, quote-unquote, objective approach. And, well, this is now, this little podcast is getting a little longer than I originally planned, because my blood pressure is going up. And when my blood pressure goes up, the podcast gets longer. This is objective, and if you think that this science is objective, then you're really prejudiced. This is nothing objective about coming in and discarding someone else's opinion. Objective is as you take all opinions into equal status. So here you had these people. Of course, the Germans, when they first came in, they were like heads over heels over Indian culture and Sanskrit. But they weren't the ones who were going to conquer India, so they didn't have any other vested interest. But then the English came, who knew nothing about India. In fact, they didn't even know where it was. That's why they were going the wrong way when they first started to explore. They came towards North America. So here are people who hadn't the faintest idea where this place was that they were looking for, and all of a sudden they reconstructed history of a people and a whole culture, obviously because it was very good for their own trade and for their own economic benefit. That's anything less than objective. That's a very subjective, prejudiced, and a very pointed, calculated policy or politics in order to subjugate a people. And unfortunately, many Indian people bought into it. And why did they buy into it? Because the English bought them off with sense gratification, because the one thing that English culture and Vedic culture had were opposed in, or there were many things opposed, but something very fundamental is that the English culture is based on sense gratification, drinking alcohol, gambling, meat eating. As Prabhupada would say, all these things the English taught the Indians. And whereas the Vedic culture had abstinence of all of these things at its core. So they bought into it. And to this very day, you will see Indian people, many, not everybody, but many, who actually believe that their Indian culture is something relatively recent, that our texts are actually mythology, and the effect of Vedic culture was to actually keep India backward, because it kept them in the villages rather than inside the cities where people are living on the streets and losing their very vitality and their very life. Okay, we got it again there because my pressure is getting too high. Hare Krishna, see you tomorrow.